It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here we are again, back by popular demand. It's good stuff, and you are listening to Real Money with David Holland. That's me, and I am here with Scott Connor, who's going to tell us all the things that are happening in the market. What are you doing, Scott?
I'm preparing to tell you all the things that are happening in the market.
All right, push the button.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
I was prepared when I got in here.
You're always prepared.
I wasn't just now preparing.
Yeah, you're always prepared, Scott. That's what I like about you.
Wednesday's market was a nice, handy little market. S&P up 19 points, almost back up to 1,400. Dow up 89 points. NASDAQ up a whopping 68 points. I want to talk about that a little bit. Gold flat, oil flat, tens at 199.
All right.
Yeah, decent day today. Really, there are only two meaningful pieces of news in today's market. One is the first day of the trade after Apple announced their earnings, which, as we talked about, were just a blowout. We were
looking for
$10 a share, and we got $12.30 a share. So Wednesday's day was the first day that it could trade, and it was up almost 9%, up about $50 to go well above $600 per share again, which is really why the NASDAQ had such a good movement today. The NASDAQ is a market cap weighted index, which basically means bigger companies have more influence on
the number.
So the total market cap of the NASDAQ, about $4.5 trillion. Market cap of Apple, about $600 billion.
That's a huge percentage.
It's huge. It's about 13%.
Okay. That's huge for an index.
Yeah. For one stock to be able to move an index that much is really just remarkable. So right now, with the way Apple is trading, the way it goes, the NASDAQ goes. Now, we see a lot of separate movement between the NASDAQ and the other indices because of that. Apple is not part of the Dow. They are part of the S&P 500, but they don't have anywhere near as much impact.
So you're going to say decoupling?
Well, it's not really a decoupling. What we're talking, when we talk about decoupling, we're looking more from a separation from Europe, which I want to talk about in just a second. But what it shows, David, is that asset allocation still works, and diversification
Amen.
Across different types of asset classes and even segments within asset classes is so critical, because they don't move in the same direction.
Well, you know as well as I do, there have been times when some of these, you know, would-be experts on TV or other places say, oh, asset allocation is dead, you don't need to diversify, just put all your money into technology stocks. Now they're saying, oh, just put all your money into Apple. Why would you buy anything but Apple? And they've said this, and then, of course, they got creamed. They got turned into cream corn from 2000 to 2002.
Yeah, the volatility is just too much. But further breaking down those Apple numbers, really, they are really just mind-boggling. Quarterly revenues of almost $40 billion, net profit of $11.6 billion. Now, that's as much profit as they made the previous quarter. But keep in mind, the previous quarter was a holiday sales quarter. So this is a non-holiday quarter. Their profits and revenue are every bit as high.
Didn't you tell me they had like 12 million iPads they sold for the quarter?
35 million iPhones, 12 million iPads, also 4 million Macs, and almost 8 million iPods, believe it or not.
Really?
I don't, you know what?
Why would you need an iPod if you got an iPhone?
Well, because a lot of the sales are coming from overseas.
Oh, okay.
Big growth in China. Revenue from China for the quarter, record $8 billion just for the quarter. That's up almost three times over the previous year.
And that's still not much based on China's population.
Yeah, they're just trying to get in there.
So, yeah.
But a lot of those iPods are being purchased in countries that don't have as much of a wireless infrastructure that we have. So that's a lot of revenue for China in the first half of 2012, about $12 billion. That's almost what they did for the entire year of 2011. And they don't even have the new iPad yet. So you're exactly right. They're just scratching the surface there.
Mm. Interesting.
So the Apple news was tremendous, and it was based on earnings. Earnings still really, really, really good for the quarter. We have earnings growth over last year's quarter of the same time, about 7%. Big lead is in the industrial sector, almost 17% growth. Technology, almost 14% growth. We have about 200 companies who have announced as of this very moment. 75% have reported earnings above expectations. So the earnings season continues to be extremely strong.
Caterpillar, you mentioned industrial, and Caterpillar had some nice numbers, and they are seeing some real interesting growth in their various businesses, including the mining business, which I didn't realize they were into.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting about that is that materials are one of the worst earnings sectors. Materials earnings growth for this quarter actually down about 10%. So that tells me perhaps that mining companies and mineral companies are retooling to look for different ways.
You're exactly right. But part of their growth was because of the mining business, but also sales to buyers looking to replace their aging equipment.
Yeah. So a little bit of other corporate news. Coca-Cola announced that the board has approved a 2-for-1 stock split. That'll take place in August. Stock splits are funny things because they're virtually meaningless from a value standpoint, but markets have a tendency, for whatever reason, to reward stock splits.
So I think it's because they think that by having a lower price, it will make it easier for the company to be purchased either by smaller investors or by some mutual funds, perhaps, or where you can buy smaller quantity.
What does Coca-Cola care about that? I mean, it's an $80 stock. You know what I mean? It's not like Apple's a $600 stock. That causes trading problems, admittedly. But an $80 stock?
Maybe they just want some attention.
Well,
you know, hey, we're going to do a split. Look at us. Look at us over here.
Yeah. So historically, shortly after share splits is a pretty good time for trading. So we'll see if that holds true with Coca-Cola. The only other real news, small pieces of news, UK announced that they have slid back into a recession.
Great.
Yep.
Not good.
That kind of surprised economists who were looking for GDP growth. They actually had contraction. And Chairman Bernanke spoke today and he said nothing pretty much again.
I just don't see them doing more of this QE, this quantitative easing, printing money, buying bonds, and I just pushing more cash into the system.
Yeah, the only two things he really said of interest were that he expects the unemployment rate to be sub 8% by the end of the year, and he is also looking for GDP growth of the 2.7, 2.8 range or so.
Did anybody ask him what census numbers they were going to use? Which
no,
census?
Nobody got into it quite that far with
him. If you had been there, Scott, you would have asked him, right?
I would have asked him.
Scott would have raised his hand and said, hey.
I would have a question about this dopey unemployment number.
And he would have said, yeah. Well, I had a couple things for you. I tell you what, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, Scott. I know you're itching to get to those portfolios, but hang in there. And you, ladies and gentlemen, you stay, and we'll be right back with more. Hold on.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All right, we're back. And I asked Scott to stay after school for a little bit before he goes to managing our portfolios at Holland Advisory Services, our fee-based money management arm. And I wanted to get your opinion on a couple of things, Scott. I was looking at these earnings announcements and all, and you've been talking about how there's been a lot of positive results, which we're excited about. Sprint had a big loss on writing down their Nextel. So did they buy Nextel? Is that what happened? And now they're having to write it off?
They bought it. It's more like a sentence, though. It's just been a total disaster. They've been trying to run two separate networks, a Sprint network and a Nextel network. Remember, Nextel used to be the one you had the walkie-talkie?
Push to talk.
Yeah, but nobody cares about it anymore. You just send a text if you need some kind of quick communication or something like that. So the Nextel acquisition has been a disaster for Sprint. They continue to write it down. Subscribers are leaving left and right.
They lost $863 million in the first quarter.
Yeah, they were late to the iPhone. Everybody had the iPhone before Sprint did. So things are not good at Sprint, and I think that CEO is in a big old kettle of hot water.
Well, maybe he'll retire and buy a Harley.
He'll have the money to buy a Harley for sure.
Because Harley's profit is jumped up, a big U.S. demand surge.
Yeah.
Now, part of that, I think, is simply we talked on the break about gas prices.
Yeah, no question. And even in their advertising, which I hear on the radio on my way home, they'll say things like, you know, the difference in your gas bill is going to pay for the Harley. Plus, you get to be cool. So
that's actually a great approach.
Yeah.
Now, you got to drive a lot to make that make sense.
Yeah, they're pushing them hard, though. And, you know,
what do they get, like 30 miles at a gallon?
No, no, they get a lot more than that.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. They get a lot more than that.
35, 40?
There's no weight on them, unless I'm riding it.
Well, that's just because you're all beefy and muscly and
husky.
That's the word. Okay.
Yeah, the mileage is terrific. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see some of those models getting 50-60 miles a
really?
Gallon.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know it was that high. Well, okay, so let's do the math. You're getting 50 miles a gallon versus the car's 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it's not a pig, no pun intended, Harley pig. So 30 miles per gallon differential.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, and also, you know, just the panache of that Harley name. They had the problems back in the 70s when AMF owned them, and then they had, you know, some quality issues. But once the family got re-involved there, they've been on a
well, and
good
they
ride.
They we've talked about this on previous shows too. Is 7,000 to 10,000 baby boomers retiring a day?
Yeah,
and a lot of them are they want to get on that Harley.
Yep.
Because they're free spirits, a lot of them, and they want to get out there and they want to have fun. Well, I thought that was interesting. I saw you also looking at my notes over here, Scott. You see that S&P cut India's outlook.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Well, remember in 2008 when the entire financial services in the United States was collapsing, the saying on Wall Street was Dubai, Mumbai, or goodbye. I mean, you had to get bailed out by one of those, by either India or somewhere in the
Middle East.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. Rampant inflation. And certainly the infrastructure growing pains that come with emerging markets.
Well, their fiscal deficit was almost 6% of GDP, and that's well above their target. So they've had a sharp slowdown in growth because they were growing red hot. Now, listen to this. Sharp slowdown in growth. Reuters says, but that with Indian economy still expanding at 6.1%.
Yeah,
so that's
to
a
China.
sharp slowdown at 6%. We'd love to have 6.1%.
We couldn't handle 6.1%.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I could handle it.
I don't think we could.
You can't handle the 6.1.
We don't have the skilled workers.
True. What do we do about that? Send them all back to school?
Just hope we don't get 6% growth.
I think it's worth trying. I think we should have fun with it. Let's have some 6% growth, Scott. Go make that happen. Well, where that might happen is everybody's finally saying that we're seeing a housing is declared to be bottoming. You buy that?
I've been saying that for weeks. You finally see it in Yahoo, and now it makes
you
sense.
You haven't said a word about it, Scott. Here it is, right here, black and white. No, this article from Bloomberg confirms what our Oracle of Ormond Beach, Scott Connor, has been saying about the U.S. Real estate market, that others now are stepping in and agreeing with you, Scott.
Excellent.
That and Mark Zandi, chief economist for Moody's Analytics, said the crash is over. Home sales, both new and existing, and housing starts are now off the bottom. I completely agree with Scott Connor of Holland Advisory Services.
What a long crash. This is a 4 or 5 year process for us to get from top to bottom. That's a long crash. It's going to take longer for us to get back up to where we were in 2007.
How long do you think it'll take?
It could take 20 years.
I was going to say 10.
You know, historical real estate growth rate is 3, 4, maybe 5% at best.
Isn't it funny? You know, Scott's been around the financial planning business long enough to know this. And isn't it funny how all the financial planning softwares, they say, when you're filling this out for somebody, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing financial planning. Some of these software programs, you put in all these different assumptions to help people plan. And the one that they would always ask is, what rate of growth do you want to assume for real estate? And it didn't ask for a negative number.
Yeah.
I mean, it was always positive.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's... But it's a reality.
Yeah.
It's a reality of where we live. All right, Scott. Well, I'm going to let you go manage those portfolios. Thank you very much.
All right.
You keep keeping us ahead of those benchmarks, by the way.
All right, I'll do my best.
All right. Thank you, Scott. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I've got something really interesting to do today I think you'll enjoy. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back, and I've got something interesting I want to do for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I was invited on Wednesday to speak at the Port Orange Library by the Friends of the Library, and they found out about me to come and speak because I had donated a copy, actually 10 copies of my book, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, to the public library system for Volusia County. And so they asked me to come and speak, and they're doing like a money week. And so I spoke to the group that was there. And what I like to do when I do a presentation like that is I ask people to give me the topics they would like to hear about. What do they want? I mean, I could stand up there and talk about this stuff for hours and hours because I wrote the book on it. But I asked them. And so here, this is kind of fun for me because here are real people's questions that I'm going to just talk about with you now. And some of these things are things we've talked about on the program in the past, but some are some little bit of a different twist. And so some of them are pretty funny. I'll start with some of the funny ones. I had a gentleman in the back of the room raise his hand, and we'd been going back and forth with some questions. He goes, David, I want to know what you think about these TV financial evangelists. And I stopped and kind of thought, what do you mean? And he says, well, what do you think of the Kramers? What do you think of the Susie Ormans? And I'll tell you exactly what I said to him. I said, well, and to the group that was assembled there, I said, well, the thing to always keep in mind with television is that there has to be an entertainment component to it. So, you know, when you see Kramer any day, you know, he's going to break out the sledgehammer and the watermelon and be like Gallagher. Any day he's going to break something like that. And I've asked people that I work with, and they say, hey, I watch them. Why do you watch them? I'm curious because I have my own television program, and I'm not going to resort to watermelons and sledgehammers, but I do want people to watch and want them to find it interesting. And so his answer, what people tell me a lot is when they say, oh, I watch Kramer. Well, they say, well, he's interesting because he's, you know, he's dynamic, and he runs around and he keeps it moving. He's not sitting behind a desk being boring. Okay. But keep in mind though, that they're not giving you financial advice. And that's what I told the group at the library. And so I'll say the same to you, my listener on the radio program, they don't know you. They're just sharing things, and they might have a stock pick. They might say this, they might say that, but it always comes back to you as an individual and what you need, which is only done. And you hear my disclaimer at the top of the program. I can't give people individual advice. I can tell you things that I think that make sense, but it depends on your situation. Then he says, well, okay, well, how about Susie Orman? I said, I admire Susie's marketing, and she's into merchandising. She's got a debit card. She does a lot of different things. But he goes, well, how can she tell you what to do with 20 seconds of information about your situation? And of course, the answer lies within the question. She can't, and no one can. And so I have met with people for an hour, and I'm still scratching my head, not sure really what I want to do for them. It takes me analyzing and looking at where they are and doing my 19-point inspection I do for people. Then I figure out what I think is working, what's not, and then I make recommendations. So when Susie Orman tells somebody, you know, you can't afford it, you can't buy that banjo, no, you can't buy the new car, no, you can't do these things, it's TV, and that's all it is. You have to keep that in mind. So anyway, that's what I think about it. I think financial advice, it's got to be individualized. All right, next thing that people asked about was about, let's see here, I got a long list. I brought my grease board from the library, and I'm looking at the things that we talked about. The next one that people talked about was wanting to understand, the lady raised her hand about halfway back. I remember her face. I'm thinking of her in the group. She says, well, I've got 20 different companies or people or magazines or newspapers or websites all giving me different advice. And I said to her, well, welcome to the world of finance, because, and I've said this on the show before, the only place that there's more spend than politics is financial services. There is a big fight. Everybody wants your money. People will stop by and ring the doorbell and knock on your door. And if you're not there, they'll leave a little door hanger saying they wanted to stop by and meet you. Really? A brokerage firm? Really? You're really doing that? That's kind of sad. Or my wife took a picture for me of her with her iPhone that there was a broker that had a poster up in the bathroom at the gym. Okay, God bless, man. That's pretty. Do we get no break? Where can we go to not? Is there no place sacred to be able to go and not be accosted by financial people? So everybody wants your money, and everybody's got their opinion, and you've got to separate who is really trying to give you advice and who is just simply a salesperson. And I'll tell you more about how to do that when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, we're back, and I'm replaying for you. Well, I'm doing it new. It's not recorded from when I did the library, but I'm answering the questions that I answered for the Friends of the Library, Port Orange Library presentation I did on Wednesday. And so I'm talking about how there is so much mixed information out there in the marketplace from different people, everybody wanting to be your financial provider. And the lady followed up. She said to me, she said, well, you know, I'm at the bank. I put money in my checking, or I made a deposit. And next thing they know, they want to know if I want to talk to the bank representative or the financial advisor at the bank. And they said, she goes, is that better? Is that worse? Are they going to be able to give me good advice? I said, it depends. You know, I've had relationships with banks in the area where, you know, and I've talked to them about being a resource to their clients. And, you know, it may be that that person at the bank is very well educated, certified, and the bank allows them to access any financial products out there. Well, that's probably not a bad deal. But if they're limited to certain products, if the bank has certain requirements or they only can do certain things, then you are not working with an objective advisor. And that's what it boils down to. Is the person able to be objective and give you the best advice? And so what somebody asked, well, what about somebody, a financial person that only offers one type of product? Or, you know, you have two choices when it comes to financial advice. Very often, no one thing is going to be all that you need. Very often, you need a mix. It's like making a recipe. It's like making a soup. Are you going to put one thing in the soup? You ever been to an Asian restaurant and they bring out that soup? I call it nothing soup. You ever have that? It's got just like one ingredient, onions. That's it. There's no mix. Well, if you're going to make a soup, then it's going to have multiple ingredients in it. And that's how a financial plan works. If you put all one ingredient, then it's going to be pretty bland, or it's going to be, you know, overkill. So you have two choices when it comes to fulfilling that. Either you have to become the expert, which most people don't want to do. There's some people that like it, and I get that, and that's fine. It's their hobby, and it's something they enjoy. But you either do it yourself, and then you try to find somebody, okay, I need insurance, or I need an annuity, or I need long-term care, or I need investments, or I need these things, and I'm going to go get a person in each of these categories so that I can assemble this team to give me advice. Or your other alternative, if you're really looking for a nice combination of things to fit your situation, is to find somebody that's a hybrid. You need to find somebody that, you need to find the Swiss Army knife of financial advisors. You need them to have all the tools on that one person. You need, if somebody can do an insurance or investments or mutual funds or no load funds or long-term care, and maybe even build a plan, maybe be even certified financial planner. Well, now you got somebody that can give you that, because it's difficult when somebody approaches you and says, I've got just the thing for you, and everybody gets the same thing, or they only work for one company. And that brings me to the other question that came up in the library talk I did. What about how they're paid? Shouldn't be a mystery. Ask the advisor. If you're working with an advisor, you ask them point blank, how much would you be paid for recommending this to me? Am I going to pay you a fee? What is it? Okay. Let's say somebody comes in and we're going to manage their money for a fee. We are a registered investment advisory firm. And depending on how much money we manage, we're going to charge them between 1% and 2%. Before somebody signs up with us, we're going to tell them exactly what it is. So let's say somebody's got enough money to where we're going to charge them 1%. So it's 1% of their portfolio. It's deducted from their account quarterly, divided by four. And that's what we charge. It's black and white. Their account gets bigger, we make more. Their account falls in value. I feel your pain. Okay, so we lose money. So you can understand exactly how that works. It's not a mystery. You know, the other thing I told them, which I think is really important, there is no other place in our life where we will accept, or very rarely accept, fee ignorance. And what I mean by that, let's say you're going to get your car serviced at the dealership, and you drop your car off and you're getting ready to leave. Is there one thing you're going to get before you leave? You know what it is. It's an estimate. Same thing with your finances. Yeah. What's it going to cost me? You're going to manage my money. What's it going to cost? You're recommending I buy this long-term care policy. What will this cost and what will you be paid? You're recommending I need an annuity. Okay, I maybe I do. Let's talk about the different types, which one's appropriate for me. How much will you be paid? Well, the company will pay us. That's not what I asked you. How much will you be paid? What percentage will you get? Because you know what? That's a contractual thing, and I'll bet you $1 million the advisor knows exactly what that percentage is. Okay? It's not a mystery. They know. I one time had a client. They're a client today. They came in, and I was recommending a combination of they needed long-term care and some mutual funds that we were going to manage for them for a fee, and then also we recommended an annuity. And this was really funny. So we're talking, and the husband asked me, he goes, well, how much you get paid for this? How much you get paid for that? I was giving forthright answers. He says, well, how much do you get for the annuity? And I told him the percentage, no secret. And he looked at me, he goes, I'm glad you told me that. I appreciate your honesty. And he reaches over, and he had printed out off of the internet, he had found what the percentage was that the advisor receives. Can you imagine what would have happened if I'd said, well, and gave him some BS answer, which is totally unnecessary. So it's okay to ask. That's what I want you to know. It's okay to ask. Now, I'll ask you to stay tuned just for a minute longer. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come back. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back, and I'm wrapping up the show today with some thoughts from my library presentation, Friends of the Library, Port Orange Library. Thank you very much for inviting me to come and speak to your group. I'll be looking to do that again, and we'll be doing it probably at other libraries. It's nice when people invite you to come talk. That's fun, and I enjoy doing it. I come from a family of teachers. My mom and dad both taught Volusia and Flagler County schools, and my grandmother taught every kid in Flagler County, Hazel Holland. So those of you that grew up in Flagler County probably had Hazel Holland for first grade. Some of you got lucky to have her first and fourth grade, but she taught every kid up there for 37 years. So I've got about 100 years of teaching in my blood. So if I start sounding like a teacher on this program, well, because I am one. I just happen to deal with financial products and financial planning and investment advice. So wherever you decide to do about your money, just make sure that you understand what you're getting, and how much objectivity this person has. Do they have the ability to recommend whatever makes sense for you, or are they limited to what their company allows? Is there somebody in New York calling and telling them what to do, or do they have the ability to pick and choose, to consider your situation, your individual situation, and to make recommendations? That's the question, isn't it? It all boils down to, can they give you advice, or are they required to do certain things? Are they a salesperson or are they an advisor? You want an advisor. That's what I think makes sense. And that's what I would want. I would want to know whether someone is on my side. Do I need to have my guard up, or can I relax and let them tell me what I need to do and how I need to do it? And to be successful in my retirement, that's what's necessary. So thanks for being with me today, and stay tuned for another show.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.